Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Pellegrini Financial and IPC Investment Corporation third quarter conference call. Summer volatility gives way to opportunity. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Ryan Morcombe. Please go ahead, Mr. Morcombe.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everyone here this morning. And yes, we have lots to go through here on this third quarter conference call. Summer volatility gives way to opportunity. And I'll start off with, the obvious, obviously, in the title, where we experienced the greatest volatility we had so far throughout the year. And I'd probably start just by looking at where the year has progressed from the beginning. And actually, at the very beginning of the year, we had some great markets that moved forward here through the first 2 months of the year. And I think even in the first quarter call, I had commented at the time that at that point, markets were probably extended a little bit, but based on projected growth of the economies around the globe, it was probably fine going forward. Well, as we went through the course of the summer and into the fall here, more and more of the reports coming out economically were lower revised expectations going forward of slower growth. And we saw that in the Canadian economy where officially, I suppose, we were through a recession through the first half of the year or the first 6 months of the year. And when we've come out of that recession, we've seen some slow growth in the Canadian economy. We saw slowdowns in Europe, somewhat in Australia and other nations like that. Most of that was predicated on what was happening in China. And China was really the snowball effect that happened through the course of August, and that's where we've seen the greatest extent of volatility in the marketplace. China's growth was revised downwards and still very positive. So when we talk about revising it downwards, they're talking about growth from 7 or 8% down to 5 or 6%, which is still phenomenal growth in comparison to what our Western economies have right now. But obviously a big factor in regards to how it impacts other economies, because the Chinese economy has been probably more of a resource-driven infrastructure type of economy where massive projects have been on the go for the last decade or more, which supported our resource prices in economies like Canada and Australia. They are turning more to a consumer-oriented economy, and that has some changes to the dynamics of that part of the world as well. But that revised growth really started the snowball effect that impacted Europe, impacted Canada, some of the other nations in East Asia. And as that happened, of course, well, we saw what markets did. We had triple-digit days of red numbers one after another, right? And a positive day here and there, but negative markets throughout that month of August, especially that third week of August. Part of that carried over into September. And, that's probably where, to this point in time, we saw the market lows in regards to the various indexes across the globe. And I think to that point in time, from a portfolio standpoint, I would say most of those losses through August, September were offsetting gains made through early part of the year. So when we looked at many of our client portfolios, most were around that par area, some a little ahead, some a little behind. But for the most part, I had taken off the gains on a year-to-date basis. But the markets probably got to a point where they were fairly priced based on where things stood at that point in time. Obviously some of the major detractors were those economies that had a strong resource or materials presence. Obviously in Canada, that's a primary part of our economy. But you saw that across the globe, really, in Europe, in America, Asia as well. Anything that was resource or materials oriented really was the negative factor, and especially in the emerging markets, right? They are more resource-driven in particular, and of course they were impacted the greatest. What was positive was probably more of the technology, consumer staples, healthcare. Again, more of the basic needs services that every economy is functioning on, provided the positive returns to the portfolios. Further to that, when we looked at the bond components, fixed income, again, that was a positive influence on portfolios. Probably in a couple facets. One, obviously, you have fixed income, which is interest-bearing investments. So, yes, you can have some volatility or movements up and down in regards to the bond markets, but generally, you hold a bond with a fixed interest rate. The interest rate is interest rate, right? So that provides a base or a positive base to any portfolio. But on top of that, we also had, a surprise rate hold in the U.S. where there was probably more of an expectation of a rising interest rate environment. They put that off, not necessarily based on what their economy was dealing with, because their economic growth rate now is still quite strong. More so their concerns of the global economy, and that just caused them to hold off on raising rates in the U.S. at this point in time. So that was a positive, and also the fact that in Canada we did have another interest rate cut. Again, a cut to interest rates is a positive to the bonds or the fixed income component of our portfolios. In regards to the Canadian rates, well, obviously we're getting nearer and nearer to zero, and globally it is basically a zero interest rate policy through most central banks. And while we can go lower, we're pretty close to zero as it is. I think any cuts like that going forward will be not so much as a driver to save interest costs for businesses, but more so as perception as, yes, markets or liquidity is there in the marketplace to fund business cash flow lending, you know, bank lending and all that kind of stuff. So that component of the fixed income was again a positive in the portfolios and something that really helped hold our performance throughout on a year-to-date basis. The other factor, I guess, with interest rates is, you know, again, this is what's reported from central banks, but inflation being within their band, that 1-3% band of what they're trying to hold inflation at. I know from a consumer standpoint, we always see prices that seem to go up higher than what they report from an inflation rate standpoint. But either way, as a whole, the central banks have not seen inflation as being a big issue, which causes them, again, to hold interest rates down. When we go, you know, more into the individual assets and commodities in particular, here in Alberta, of course, we do hear and see more of the doom and gloom of the price of oil and the price of natural gas. You know, natural gas, which hasn't had a strong price for some time, but, you know, now with this warmer winter El Nino effect taking place, we've seen gas actually trade down to $2 or less a gigajoule, which we haven't seen that for some time. Obviously, that's a very low price. Good for consumers and home heating, but not very good for the gas market here in Alberta. Oil, again, continues to trade in that mid-40s range, you know, which is based on the world oil price. Here in Canada, of course, we trade more on the Western Canada Select grade, which still trades at a discount. So that $45, well, what we sell our oil at is even discounted to that. There isn't a great expectation of a rebound of oil happening anytime soon. I think there is a continual appreciation and value expected through the course of the next year. Right now, the current oil supply is greater than the demand, but demand is continuing to grow month by month. You know, the biggest issue with a commodity like oil, you know, when it's priced low like that, the unfortunate part is even when it's on sale, what do people do with it? You can't go and buy a whole bunch of it and store it anywhere. You know, there is storage capacity that certain governments use, salt caverns. There's storage tankers that float in the ocean that people use, but generally it's not much you can do with it, right? So while the supply is still greater than demand, that causes that price to collapse, and that's where we're sitting at here, is the mid-40s. And again, probably an expectation that it should appreciate in value over this next year. Longer term, 2 or 3 years out, well, right now they're still calling for $70, $75 to $80 oil 3 years hence. That, again, is probably a negative to the Canadian market as a whole, to the Alberta economy. But I think once that price gets towards that $60 level and more, then that probably gives a bit more free cash flow to our oil companies here in Alberta. I guess the only positive to that right now is you know, they sell oil in U.S. dollars, and while the currency is down here in Canada, you know, that provides a bit of a buffer for them. We'll come back to currency in a second here, but with other economies or other commodities, pardon me, we've seen gold pretty much trend at that, you know, $1,100 mark, $1,150. Again, really hasn't gone anywhere in this last year, really, which to some degree is a bit surprising, especially in the month of August. Again, the only positive to gold in Canada here is the fact that if you're trading it from a currency standpoint, you're probably making a little bit of headway, or at least minimizing your losses by having a low Canadian dollar. Other metals, again, the market's just not there for iron ore, nickel, copper, all the base metals. Again, with a slowing Chinese economy, more so of a conversion of the Chinese economy from an infrastructure base to consumer base, that is putting pressure on those base metals. And again, we've just seen the prices drop on all of those, which has caused a pullback on the mining sectors. And again, resource economies, which Canada is a big part of it. You know, we've seen that market suffer as well. From a currency standpoint, yes, the Canadian dollar now is moved up a little bit, maybe from where it was a month ago, but there is probably still more downward pressure to the dollar. We're just over 76 cents here today. You know, again, there's still the perception that Canada is a resource economy, and I guess the world market views our loonie as a resource currency, and as such, it trades like that. So as the price of oil and gas and commodities of other kinds fall trend downwards, so does our dollar, like it or not. Now, that is a positive for, I guess, our manufacturing sector in Canada. It's not quite the same sector as it was maybe 20 years ago, but it is a positive. It is a positive to set our oil market as well, because, again, we sell our oil in U.S. dollars, and as we have it, we sell it here from a Canadian dollar to U.S., so you are making some gains on the currency exchange. The U.S. is still the dominant currency out there in the world. Obviously, the U.S. dollar has been strong against pretty much every other currency out there, including the euro, including the yen, even the Chinese renminbi. The central banks still are waging a little bit of a currency war out there, so, you know, Japan is still trying to drive their yen down. Same with the European Union, as they have their same sort of concept, I guess, as the U.S. was down a few years back in regards to flooding their economy with currency, with money. That's, you know, while the U.S. has stopped that program and has moved on, Japan and Europe are still on that program, and so as they try to flood their own economies with currency, trying to drive it down, trying to improve liquidity, the U.S. dollar is the shining star, I guess, in regards to the currency markets. So, you know, I think from that standpoint, you know, the only impact here in Canada is the fact that, like I said, it provides a benefit to our low commodities, having a low currency. Not so much to our snowbirds who try to go down south every year, but in the grander scheme of things, I guess the low currency is probably a positive at this point in time. And again, don't expect any big rebound on that anytime soon. When we just a few other odds and ends, you know, I think when we look at the outlook going forward, the growth in the U.S. economy is still very strong, actually, and that's a positive to the world economy. The Chinese growth, even though they've you know, scaled back the level of growth again, and it is still a phenomenal rate of growth in comparison to our Western economies, that is a positive to the world markets and outlook. Europe is actually growing probably at a faster clip rate now than Canada. Canada is probably where we still feel or see a bit of a lag, I guess, in regards to economic growth. And we've seen that reflected even in our portfolios. We've been underweight Canada for some time. And I noticed again that we're further underweight from about a month ago now, and a bit more over towards international equities. The Canadian marketplace, though, you know, if we've seen the lows of oil and the lows of commodities, well, then, you know, I think it's just a matter of time and a slower, longer recovery in regards to resource prices, which will translate into stronger growth over the next year or two. It's just muted growth for the time being. Interest rates, again, we expect them to hold their own here in Canada, obviously. There is an expectation that the U.S. will begin to raise because they do have some strong economic growth down there, and that should happen over the next next few months. I think, you know, for as a whole, then, that just means, I think, where our managers certainly have to be more selective in what markets they're tapping into in regards to market investments and opportunity. But the opportunities are out there. I mean, we do see economic growth. You know, the problem is, of course, here in Alberta in particular, we don't see a lot of that around us day to day because we are resource-based. There is much, you know, a lot more doom and gloom in regards to the oil market. But outside of our borders, you know, there is some strong economic growth out there and opportunity from an investment standpoint. And certainly that's what we're looking to be tapping into. Other than that, you know, we've seen from just, I guess, outside of markets themselves, we obviously had a few different elections this past year in Alberta, which we've seen a new government here federally, changes forthcoming in regards to probably taxes and tax rates. I'd say the main positive out of all that when it relates to the markets is especially in the federal election there, the voting in of a majority government. Markets like that. I mean, they like, whether they like the governor or not is irrelevant, but they like certainty. And having a majority government is a certainty that the markets can get used to and plan for. The U.S. election is the next one coming up in a year from now. So we'll hear a lot of that. That'll have, you know, I wouldn't say a direct impact on markets, but generally in an election year, it generally has been good for markets. And again, with a strong U.S. economy as it is, you know, again, great opportunity, I think, south of the border. So with that, I think I'll wrap that up here for today. And once again, if anyone has questions for Perry or myself, then certainly feel free to call in and speak to one of us, email us, and we'll answer everything accordingly. So thank you once again for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you in the next quarter and the next conference call. So long from now.